Hey, Kate.
Hey, Mary B.
Oh my gosh, my breath smells so bad. Oh, I can like taste it.
Does that ever happen to you? Can only imagine what mine is.
Stay away. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's Saturday, Spencer is on his two-weeker right now, and so he's away in Palm Beach golfing. And so he left Friday morning, but Friday I worked a shift. And so, like, having to come home and do, like, solo parenting after working a shift was...
Oh, my gosh.
That's rough. But, that's, you know, single moms do it all the time, so yeah. I'm definitely not going to complain. But
it's hard, though.
And then today was just exhausting because, you know, everybody was in their feels. But tomorrow is a new day.
Tomorrow's a new day.
And that's all that matters.
Today is done.
And it was a really good reminder to myself of how impressionable of an age Dictator's at, and how she like mimics everything and she remembers everything, and so it's my reactions are super important because it's really easy when you're tired and you're hungry and you're frustrated. Like, she wanted to take her jacket off. I was like, it's 30 degrees, like, you can't take your jacket off. And like, she's just like losing it, and I was just like, you can't take your jacket off, you know. And so like, we just came home and we had like a little 5-minute reset. And then we talked about it and how important listening in is, and mommy's trying to keep you safe, and like, we'll try again tomorrow, have a better day tomorrow. And like a couple hours later, she was like, and tomorrow when I wake up, we can try to go to the playroom again, and I'll be a good listener and I'll keep my cool down because mama keeps me safe. Like, she just, it's like just crazy how
I'm gonna cry.
She remembers things. And so I'm like, wow, I'm so happy I didn't lose it and like yell at her, you know, or like anything like that, because like, that's how I felt in the moment. But I just kept my... and we just walked home, and I said, you're just gonna sit here for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, but
that's hard. I mean, my deepest perspective is I took Dictator to school on Thursday.
Oh.
And so my 30 minutes with her was prompted a lot of reflection. And well, okay, here's what I'm gonna say though, is I took her on the subway, and that just made me nervous.
Yeah.
Because I just kept thinking...
Even walking around makes me nervous, so I get it.
I just, like... But I also was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want her to be anxious around me. Like, I want to be fun Aunt B. So, like, I don't want to be, like, demanding or, like, feel like I'm worried or concerned, because I don't want her to associate me with that those feelings. So I was totally overthinking it. But then I started telling myself, I was like, you know what? Safety is number one. Like,
totally.
We can build our relationship later. Like, if she just needs to survive.
Yes. No, it's so true. It's so true.
But it was stressful. I mean, I think I just... I think the subway just, like, scared me. And there's a lot of different factors. Because, you know, like, there's lots of stairs, and they're big stairs, and the hand railing is dirty. And she was like using the hand railing, and I was like,
the whole place is disgusting.
I was like, oh my god, like, it's okay. Like, she's gonna build her immunity.
Yes.
We get to the platform, we're waiting for the train. I'm literally like standing like this, kind of. I'm like,
yeah,
kind of like bringing her in close to
me.
She
should know not to touch the yellow line. We work on that a lot.
Okay,
but maybe
good.
She did. But like, I'm very stern on that. Like, around streets, in cars, in the subway,
yeah,
I like, that's the only time my voice goes up a level, like,
yeah,
because
it's safety.
That does matter. Like,
yeah.
My fear is her being with somebody. Like, our nanny's incredible and probably doesn't even let her out of the stroller.
Yeah.
But like, I'll have her on the scooter and stuff like that, and I'm just like, oh, I could just like see a car's coming and like smacking you.
No,
so
I was just like, I could just see you. Like, we were far. We were like a yard away from the platform edge, but like,
just
my
mom anxiety.
I was like, oh my god, like, I could just see her like falling
yes.
in, and then like disaster. Like, so
yeah,
I was just kind of like trying to keep her close to me, and she's a very good listener. But then, oh my gosh, I got like the scooter, and I was just like, I will never again like get coffee and then go to pick her up. Because I'm like, I'm one hand down with this coffee. I'm like, I should have just abandoned it. Because I was like, I'm trying to like get the scooter. I'm trying to make sure she makes it on. I was just like, a couple times I was like, kind of like corralling her in. Because I was like, what if I make it on and she does it? Or like vice versa. And then like, I didn't even pay attention to this. But there is a little like lift, like, from the subway platform into the subway car, like, there's, like, an inch of division, so I'm like, okay, watch your step, like,
and then, the gap.
And then it's just, like, a time crunch, because you're like, how much time do I have till this subway stops moving? I'm like, we gotta get in the seat, we gotta get in the seat, and then everyone, God, they're crawling out of the subway. I'm like, I got a little girl I gotta get into here, we only have so much time till the doors close, and so, and I gotta get her in, and I gotta get her in a seat, because she's gonna fall over if the subway goes, like, I gotta get her in the seat. So I'm like hauling her in, like everyone's like smiling at me. I'm like, okay.
You're like, don't look at me. Don't look at me.
And then we like sit on the two and like it's fine. Like we're on our way. I'm like, you want a snack? She eats her Subway snack. Drops like three on the floor.
What'd you
like,
bring her?
Like little yogurt bites.
She loves those.
It was perfect. And
yogurt bites.
Whatever, smoothie, you know, then the pink package. Yeah, I have some in my pocket right now, left over. She, like, dropped them on the subway ground, and she's like, it's okay, we can pick it up. And I was like...
You're like, no, girl.
But I did, I was like, oh my God, we have to be teaching good stewardship. So I picked them up, and I put them in my pocket. That's why they're still in there. But, like, and so then we get off, and of course we have to transfer trains.
Well, you could have walked, I guess it'd be kind of far. It was freezing cold. That's why I asked her to take the subway for context, because it was freezing cold this morning.
No, and it was fine. Like, to be clear, this is, like, all just me being anal. Like, any normal person would have been like, oh, I'd like a, you know, whimsical morning with my niece, but I'm, like, on high alert. I'm like,
and it was so your many, first time so doing danger. Something like that. Sorry,
so. And I would just... Like, on the second train, like, we waited for... I was like, oh, my God, this train needs to get here. I don't, like, be on this platform with her. Like, there's too many factors. And then, like, the one finally comes. We're like, choo-choo. And then I'm trying to, like, hide my stress. I'm like, ah, the train! And she's like, ah! And we get on that one, and I literally, like, the time crunch, like, didn't work in my favor. And so... I had too much in my hands. She's like taking off her hat. I'm like, oh my God, like,
I don't have enough room. I'm like, I can't
hold the hat with the and the coffee. Like, you don't understand. Like, and I spilled some of the coffee on her new mittens. And she was like, oh my, my mittens. I was like, I'm sorry. And then, like,
not the $3 Elsa mittens from Amazon.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, it'll come out. And then, so, like, she did, like, stumble. And I was like, because the train went. And, you know, like, it's... And so I, like, literally dragged her onto a seat. But then I was like, I took a moment and I was like, okay, like, I need to, like, be a comforting force because I feel like she can sense my stress. So I was just, like, hugging her. And she's like, it's my auntie. I was like, yes, it is.
Yes.
And then we get onto the... At Franklin, we get onto the platform, and she's, like, zooming. Like, she's so fast on that scooter. I didn't even tell you that on FIDI, some guy was like, how old is she? I was like...
Don't talk to me. She's a teenager.
I was like, she's two. But, anyway...
No, she rips.
She rips on the scooter. She's ripping down, and I was like, "Oh my God, she doesn't have a helmet on because she has a hat." I'm like, "She's gonna fall and crack right open." I'm like running, and the woman, I was like, "The judgment." This woman in the subway booth was like this to me.
Oh my, f her.
I literally was like, "What?" She was like shaking her head, like giving me judgment. I was like, "What?" And then I was like,
"Lady, please."
And then I, like, tried to, like, corral her. I was trying to get into the emergency exit, so I thought at first she meant the emergency exit, and then I was like, okay, like, I won't go through. We'll go through the freaking spindly things. And
she, of course, go through the emergency
trips exit. In the middle of a spindly thing. I'm like, no, we should have gone through the emergency exit. Like, but she was judging me. I was like, and then I was like, oh, she judged me because she was scootering on the platform. Like, whatever. And I literally left. I was like, the judgment. I was like, I bet she doesn't have any children.
She's just a sad person, obviously. Like,
God, but anyway... We made it. It was great. You know,
oh my God, she loved it. She was literally screaming in her crib for you during nap time.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it was such a joy. As soon as I saw, it was as if, like, the gates of heaven opened when I got to preschool. I saw the kind security man, and I was like, oh my God, like, we did it. And it was, like, 9:04. Because then, like, we stopped at the crosswalk. This is another factor. It's like, you have to have them ready to cross the street. Yeah. I was like, she's like, I want to take my coat off. Like, I want to get my backpack, something out of my backpack. And I was like, we need to cross the street. Like, we're going to run out of time. So anyway, I was like, we'll do it at school. And she's a great listener. But
Yeah, usually and if you can redirect, she's fine.
Yeah.
She's like, okay.
I just was having all these thoughts that I was like, I'm not her mom. Like, and I don't want to be her mom. Like, I want to be fun Aunt B. But I was just like, this is safety.
This is a time to be consistent, because if you allow things, it just makes my job harder.
Okay. I mean, she's a great listener.
Like, wait, Aunt B lets me do this. And then it kind of creates like a bad habit. Mm-hmm. Not that you did do that, but I'm just saying to make you feel better about being stern.
Yeah.
You're just continuing the things that I'm trying to implement.
Yeah.
So don't think of it as like you're parenting her in any way. You're just continuing on what we're trying to do already. So don't feel bad about that.
Okay.
Well, and also when you do, I'm sure you will take her again. If she's late, it's fine. It's literally a choose program.
I know. I was like, okay. I was like, it's 5 minutes. Like, we're going to be fine.
Not that serious.
And, I mean, it's so funny, too. Like, we get to school and she runs in and, like, barely looks back. I was
she does not care. She's like, smell ya.
I was like, bye. I was like, wait, quickly turn around because I got to send your mom a picture. I sent a picture to Kate, proof of life.
It's like a blurry photo of her, like, on the move. So funny.
So, all that to say, like, that's my tale. And, you know, if you're an aunt out there just trying to, like, find your balance, you know, just, you know, remember, safety is the number one priority.
100%.
And I was just, like, thinking to myself, I was like, you know, we can always rebuild our relationship, but if she gets hurt, like, that'll just be, like, so much worse. So,
totally.
Safety one out.
She won't even remember.
But let me tell you, she zooms on that scooter. I was, like, running next to her.
Yeah.
She's, like, so fast.
She's usually pretty good about stopping, especially if there's a street. And I, like, always try to, like, pre-warn her. I say, you see that street? You see that busy street coming up? And she knows what that means.
I also feel like I don't spend enough time with her to, like, really be able to appreciate what she can conceptualize. Because sometimes I feel like I baby her.
Talk to her like an adult.
There's a busy street.
No, she understands all that stuff. Like, there, if you try to get her to say complex sentences, that's really, like, the only... Like, Spencer will sometimes try to get her to say, like, a sentence that is too complex for her age. Or he'll try to, like, explain... like, discipline her, but, like, the disciplinary action or, like, what the words he's using are too advanced.
Mm.
But if you're saying there's a busy street or, like, lots of cars around, you're going to get, like, big... There's a bump in the road. She knows what that means. Like, okay. She's like, a pretty... She's pretty advanced in that sense.
Oh, she's so sweet. Yeah. It was so fun.
Because when we were scootering with mom and dad, they were running...
Yeah.
We were, like, in a wide open place. Like, there were no cars around. And they were running alongside her. I was like, she's fine. Like, she's going to stop when she needs to stop. Like, this is the road we scooter on every single day. Like,
but it's like, if you don't...
But yeah, no.
If you're not with her, you, like, don't know.
It's so much more stressful when it's not your kid, too. Because I feel like the responsibility feels so much greater.
Yeah.
So, but, like, anything that would happen to her, I know it was an accident. Like, I know you were trying your hardest.
Yeah, for sure. I just think it was, I think it was the subway. But, I mean, it'd be fine the next time because now I have the experience. But there's just so many factors on the subway, especially the timing of the doors. I was like, stand clear of the closing doors. I was like, can we just, like, extend an extra 30 minutes, like, for the mothers on the train?
Just so you know, for people listening, the front three doors stay open, I think, like, 10 seconds longer.
They're
handicap doors.
I did not know that.
So I always try to go... You don't always have time, obviously. But if you need more time, if you're just waiting, go to the front. Those doors stay open longer.
Oh, my gosh. Than the rest of the train. Wow, okay, good to know.
Or if you do need, like, just, like, look at the conductor. If you get into a car, like, the conductor is, like, singing.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be out here.
Yeah. So. I was also afraid. I was like, the doors are going to close and she's going to be mid-door. I was like, we got to do, like, one or the other. Like, in or out. And, like, we must stay together.
Yeah. Ugh,
whatever. As soon as we were on the train, I felt a little better. And then once we sat down, I was like, we're good.
If you guys are still listening. Sorry. So this is the longest.
Sorry. I don't know. I feel better.
When I asked Mary B how it went, she said it went great.
It did. We arrived alive.
Yes.
And then it went great.
Okay, so today's pod is more just like a long-form AMA. So some people, which is our favorite, we love to just gab and give advice to people.
So. This is a request that I got, so shout out to...
Do you? Oh, you wanted
a new request today, like, you know who you are.
Do you want to give yours first?
Yeah, this is from the person who requested...
Oh my gosh, wait, I have to do my reality TV recap quickly.
Do it, girl.
Okay, So the first thing that I want to say, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is good. I have nothing new to say. You know, Kyle thinks she's not like other girls. Mauricio is so far out of our marriage. He, and I can guarantee you, he is going to do something with their money. People can mark my word. Allegedly, I don't want to get sued or anything, but this is just my theory, okay? She will not get what she thinks she's going to get, and I'm sad for her. And I think Kathy is very odd. I love Bose, and I think that the people were really weird about Bose and Dorit having a conversation, and I think that was really weird. I didn't understand why they had an issue with that. And I'm still confused about why Kyle and Dorit, or why Kyle's mad at Dorit. And then she was like, oh, you didn't take up for Teddy? Like, why would she take up for Teddy? She's not best friends with Teddy. I think Dorit has always thought that Kyle was better friends than Kyle thought she was. I think that Kyle has a lot of really great friends being born and raised in LA, and Dorit was just more of a work friend, and Dorit thought she was like her best friend, and Dorit doesn't have that many other friends.
Ooh,
that's my take on that situation.
Awkward.
And then moving on to Salt Lake City, oh my gosh, maybe hilarious. Like, there's just so much to unpack. Starting with, they were talking about nails, like someone doing like artsy nails, like something like, you know, maybe a little like TTFW. But Lisa, they're at a bat mitzvah in Park City, and Lisa goes, I don't do my nails like that. It's Bridge and Tunnel.
Which is also like such an outdated take. I'm sorry, like her age.
No, but also showing. The way she said it was like a mom saying a phrase that she just learned, trying to be cool.
That's so awkward for her, because it's, like, that's outdated, like, because it's
literally not me being, like, body is tea, you know? Like, that's clearly, like, a younger term, but, like, I'm trying to be cool saying that, you know? Like, and Bridge and Tunnel, people don't use that word anymore.
That's an outdated take.
And it's just not, it wasn't an accurate take, and I love Lisa, I think she's hilarious, but, like, to me, everything Lisa does, I would qualify as Bridge and Tunnel, because Bridge and Tunnel... And
it's like people who live outside of Manhattan.
Exactly. It's like the whole idea behind it. I'm not saying that this is the truth, because there are a lot of incredibly wealthy people that live in Alpine, it's a New Jersey.
Take.
Yeah.
Brooklyn is like alive now.
Oh my God. Like Dumbo is just as expensive as Manhattan.
Oh yeah.
And so like the whole idea was like you were less than if you had to come in from like Long Island or New Jersey or like something like that. And so that's why they called you Bridge and Tunnel, like, or like the Bridge and Tunnel crowd. Like, clearly you weren't from New York. You weren't a cool New Yorker. It's just silly.
And outdated take.
To me, everything Lisa does is Bridge and Tunnel. Like, she's trying to be something she's not.
That comment was Bridge and Tunnel.
Exactly. Like, even saying that. Yeah, exactly. Like, saying that is Bridge and Tunnel. So that's my take on that. But then also, so there's this other housewife, Angie. And her and her husband own a salon. Her hair always looks amazing. But she called this new housewife Brittany. She called her hair, I'll do it for you. It looked like this.
Okay, I'll describe it. Like, okay, Kate's putting her hair up.
Like her, okay, she's probably like, I don't know, maybe in her like late 50s.
She has wispies in front of her face. It's a half updo.
Like this, looks like she kind of has
a bump it in her hair.
Yeah. So she goes, you have high body count hair.
Oh my God. What does that even? Oh my gosh! I've never.
But it was just.
That's not like an association I would ever make.
It was so funny. No, but it is an association that I would. I'm like, if you were to look at a picture of her, you'd be like, you do look like a little slutty, and like not like that, but like you look like somebody. It's like the same as Bridge and Tunnel. Like you look kind of trashy, and she did look a little trashy, but
she's like not conservative.
But it was just like a joke. Like, it wasn't that serious, but of course it turned into something serious. But then Lisa goes, oh, yeah, you really should try. Like, whispers it to her. She's like, you should really get some, like, Kerastase there, mate. Like, she, like, tried to, like, help her out. But it was just...
Damn.
Like, it was like her trying to have, like, an Ariana Grande hair. Mm-hmm. But she's, like, a 50, 60-year-old woman.
Like, gotcha.
It was like, let's... You don't need to do all that. Cringy. Yeah, it was Bridge and Tunnel hair. You know, body count hair. But it was just, like, a hysterical... It's a hysterical comment. I'm trying to think about, like, what happened in Potomac. There's this other woman, Stacy, very similar situation to Kyle, except the difference is she married into a wealthy German family, And, like, same thing. She's like, I know we're going to have an amicable divorce. But she's already dating this guy who's a total loser. I do not think he really likes her. You guys can mark my words. Again, allegedly. Allegedly. But he's just, like, not nice to her. And I think he's only there for the airtime. That's just my opinion.
That's tough.
That's just my opinion. But she's saying the same thing as Kyle and saying, like, all right, divorce is going to be amicable. I know everything's going to be fine. And then the other women are like, no, you need to go in with your ducks in a row. And you need to know what you want. And, like, that's going to be that. And she comes back from the meeting and she's like, you guys were right. Like, there's a lot of stuff I didn't know going on with our finances. So, you know, again, I made a TikTok about this, but be the CFO of your family. Know what's going on. Because you think you're not like other girls until you are just other girls.
Always good to have the finger on the pulse.
Yes.
Okay, good recap.
Thank you. I think that's all. Yeah, that's all. Okay. I have not watched Southern Charm. I need to do that. I'm behind.
Okay.
Now, this is going to be probably a two-part pod.
Yeah, two-part pod, probably this week and next. So maybe we'll stop
at a certain point.
Yeah.
And then
restart again.
Yeah. And then we'll do a reality recap. We'll do a double reality recap next time. Because I know that's everyone's favorite part of the Venom
Squad. Obviously. So this is what my friend who requested this pod, she said she thought it would be so fun.
Okay.
And she had her own submission.
Okay.
Here it is. I'm getting married next year and dealing with an awkward interaction with a friend who didn't make the guest list.
Okay.
We were new friends once I moved to a new city in the same friend group, but not besties.
Okay.
She moved away and we haven't really kept in touch, which is why she didn't make the cut.
Of course.
Meaning, like, the wedding.
Obviously.
Obviously. She recently reached out to me asking how wedding planning is going and followed up by asking to catch up over a phone call about wedding things. Either clearly fishing for an invite or fully assuming she's invited. What should I do and how much should I divulge to her about the fact that she isn't invited?
Okay, first of all, I feel blessed when I'm not invited to a wedding.
Yeah.
Because weddings are expensive for me, the person going, and they're expensive for the people getting married.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to have to shell out $150 for me there, I 100% understand because I don't want to shell out $500 to go and buy you a gift and, like, all this stuff. And I think she's probably having, like, a FOMO moment, and maybe she doesn't have a lot of friends and just wants to be included.
I felt like she texted this girl because she saw, like, the engagement photos on Instagram or whatever. She knows she's getting engaged and she's trying to, like, solidify an invite because she knows she's on the cusp. That was my read on the situation.
Right. And she might be doing that. And my advice to your friend is, please do not feel pressured to invite her.
Yeah.
Unless you guys develop a strong friendship over the next few months, do not invite her. Because you could always invite her at the 11th hour if you wanted to.
Mm.
Because things happen and people drop out at the last second. That's just the reality. So if you did decide you wanted to invite her, like, invitations don't go out until 8 weeks. Like, actual invitations don't go out until 8 weeks before your wedding. So if you wanted to do that, you could. Do not feel pressured to invite her because that is money out of your pocket.
Yeah.
So do not invite anybody that you do not want there because that is just cutting into your budget.
I think also, and this is something I try to keep in mind, like, I think every once in a while when you don't get invited to a wedding you thought maybe you'd make the cut for, it can be hurtful. But then I think it's important to just keep in mind, like, if you really think about the cost of a plate at a wedding, and also, like, especially hearing from some of my friends who are beginning to get engaged and plan weddings, you have to make cuts. Like, you have to make a certain number. And it's not like your friends are most likely, like, depending on their situation, it's not like your friends are out there inviting 100 friends. Their parents are inviting 100 friends.
Exactly.
And you're getting the leftovers.
Yes. Like, I think I invited, like, 8 friends besides my bridesmaids.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, so it was 90% family and then my parents' friends.
And so I think it's just, you can still have a great relationship with someone
if you're not invited to their wedding.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it just comes down to money and numbers, and that's not personal. Like,
yes.
Just, like, be honest with yourself about, you know, your proximity in terms of, like, you know, maybe I would have loved to have been invited to this wedding, but if I was on the cusp, like, cuspers are hard. It's hard.
This is what I would say to her. I'd go, we're keeping it really small, really intimate, you know, just super close friends. We have a really tight budget.
Yeah.
So we're just being very strict about who we want. My parents, always blame it on the parents, okay? Yeah. Because she's not going to call your mom and be like,
my parents have so many friends, like, they're, you know, and we have a tight, we can't invite that many people, like, it has to stay small.
And one day, when she gets married, she'll understand. I remember I had a friend who, she got invited to a wedding and she couldn't go, and she was, like, so stressed about it. And I had gotten married before already, and I just kept saying to her, like, I promise you this bride, like, they weren't super close, and she kept saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, I just can't make this huge effort to do this, like, I need to be somewhere else, and, like, it was going to be really expensive, and it was just, like, a lot going on. And I was like, I promise you, like, unless you are best friends with this bride, she does not care that you can't come. Like, this is the least of her concerns, honestly. Like, people want their close family and their closest friends, and that's it. And I don't think that she would be upset. I think we all like to be included. But I think as you get older, you kind of realize, like, wow, actually, I would love to sit this one out. So thank you for not inviting me.
Especially as your life gets more chaotic, like, if you have children, like,
totally,
that means you have to get a babysitter, find someone
kids,
like, XYZ. So
yes.
Okay. Good response. I like that. Like, just kind of in the text that she's sending you and she's asking you about the wedding plan, you just be like, it's good, like, we're keeping it really small.
Yes. Be like, I'm so stressed about our guest list because we can only have we really can't have a lot of people, and my parents are wanting to invite a bunch of friends, and my family's really big.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, something along those lines.
But again, like,
you don't have to go too overboard.
Yeah, you don't owe her, like, your deepest, darkest details of your wedding. I think you should be friendly, but I just don't want you to feel pressured to do anything. Because I think this is a common thing that comes up, especially people who get married younger, like 20, 25, or like, if you're one of the first of your friends also to get married.
Yes.
I think that it's, like, super fun, exciting.
But you're paving the way.
Yes. And everybody wants to be included. It's a party. You're going to be drinking.
Yeah. You're younger. So, like, at least, like, so she's my age. So, like, we're younger. So people have more freedom right now.
Right.
So it's like, oh, let's all go to a big party with our friends.
Totally.
If you want to go. But I think then as you get older, it's like, oh my God, like, I got to stay home with my children.
Exactly.
So, yeah. It's stressful.
Yes. Okay, but yeah,
thank you for the submission.
Great first ask.
Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of going back to the younger people. Okay, did you ever study abroad?
No.
Oh, this might be hard, but we can imagine what it'd be like to study abroad.
I did like a 2-week program in Ireland, and I visited my friends over spring break. That's the best I got.
So you drank for 14 days straight, is what you're saying?
But it was actually, my Instagram caption was so, like, on point for that time. It was, study abroad is an Olympic sport, and I stand by that. Because it was a nonstop drinking.
Yeah, I remember Dad being like, you need to talk to your sister and make sure she's safe over there.
Yeah, I was.
I was like, I don't know, I've seen Taken. I feel like I could handle any situation she puts herself in.
Yeah. I was surrounded by a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not any different than, like, Chicago or New York. Okay. Sure. Studying abroad next semester. Any tips on homesickness? The sadness that comes with leaving fam behind, any tips on making friends, don't know anyone that is studying abroad, makes me nervous, but excited.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I wish I could, like, phone a friend. I had a friend who studied abroad in Spain and, like, didn't really know very many people going into it, and
I feel like that's how most people are, though, and I feel like everybody bonds over that. It's like when you start school, you don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. Most of the time you don't know people, and I think it's an amazing, I think almost everybody says that studying abroad is one of the highlights of their college career, just because you get to travel so much, and it's not like real school. I feel like it's, like, not as intense as, like, your academics back home.
Yeah. I do have some, like, just general tips of, like, people I know who have lived abroad and have... So she says she doesn't know anyone in her program.
Yes. Don't know anyone that is studying abroad.
She doesn't know anyone that's studying abroad. Okay. Like...
Which I think there's something special about that, honestly.
And she's stressed about loneliness, she says.
Homesickness, leaving family behind.
First of all, like, I completely understand it's so valid to feel homesick. I think whenever I go to a different country, even if it's, like, for 10 days, I'm, like, ready. I'm, like, homesick. I'm, like, homesick for, like, the United States and, like, some of the things that we have here. But I think that, I mean, I just want to keep coming back to, maybe this isn't helpful, but study, like, it's such an amazing experience. And you will come back.
Yeah,
like,
it goes by quickly. I would assume.
And, like, just having perspective of, you know, both of us. Like, we are out of college now, and we are working. Kate has children.
Oh my God, I'd love the opportunity, like, there's, to have a couple months.
It's such a special time. Like, even I feel fairly untethered right now. I'm very untethered, but I couldn't just go to Europe. I mean, I probably could figure it out, but, like, it wouldn't be easy for me to just go to Europe for, like, a couple months.
And you wouldn't have the group structure. I have a job. That comes with studying abroad,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
I have a job. So this is such a truly, like, unique moment in your life, and I really would love it if, you know, home will be there, call, like, FaceTime your family. Something that I think is also really fun when you're abroad and traveling to different places. When you are somewhere, look for, like, a postcard that you can send to your family or friends, because then you're also sharing that experience with them and, like, keeping them in mind.
Yeah, buy little trinkets and stuff, ornaments that you can bring home. My advice is more, like, parenting, because this is what we do with Dictator, is bring printed out pictures of your family to look at, or picture books that you have. Like, pictures you can put up in your room to look at, not just on your phone. I think that is really helpful when you're feeling lonely. But again, just know the time, the days are long, but the weeks will be short, and it will be over before you know it. And so just try to take advantage. I think that the majority of the people going also won't know many people. And so you'll all be in it together, and just go in first day, smile. Hi, my name is.
Yeah.
Like, where are you from originally? What are you studying? What's your major? You want to go get some coffee later? Like,
yeah. Also, it's so normal to be homesick. Like,
yeah.
I think just what Kate said is great, and just embrace, like, your own adventure. Like, and I don't want it to say that and be like, oh, like, why am I not enjoying it as much as I should be? But just try to, like, lean into the amazing things about it, and also hold space for yourself to have that, those feelings. I wish we had, like, more practical advice, because we've done it, but we do know what it's like to, you know, need to make new friends, feel lonely, feel homesick. So yeah, everyone experiences that.
Just try to have fun.
Try to have fun. Like, again, like, this is such an amazing experience. Yes. And, like, just lean in, and
you'll never get to do something like that ever.
Yeah. And like Kate said, I guarantee you the other people who are around you and your program are also feeling, you know, the same way. So just, you know, you're not alone.
Okay, I think this should be our last one for the first part, because I feel like it's going to be a long one.
Okay.
How to handle a breakup after 5 years. Early 20s still, and trying to figure out what's best moving forward.
Early 20s, okay.
Oh, listen, you're a youth, first of all.
Listen, like, I wish I could, I wish I could, like, give you, It's just, I'm sorry that happened. Breakups suck.
Yes.
Like, 5 years is a long time to have spent with someone. That's really, really hard.
It's like a quarter
of
your life when you're in your early 20s.
Yeah, that's really, really hard. I have, like, some philosophical advice, and I have some practical advice.
Go for it. And then I'll give my advice.
Practical advice. That was not planned, but it works. Practical advice. You know, I'm just going to... I don't know, like, exactly where you're at in your healing journey right now, but if you're having trouble, like, eating, and if you're feeling a little bit depressed, here are some things to try. Smoothies are really great when you are having trouble, like, if you're feeling nauseous or anything like that, and you're feeling like you don't really want to be eating, because they're really easy to just, like, slurp down. And you can get a lot of nutrients from them without a lot of, like, actually having to eat. On that second point, just let yourself literally eat whatever you want. Like, if something sounds good, just order the takeout. Like, this is just a time of your life to just let yourself eat what sounds good. Like, because, you know, like, you might not be feeling like, I want to have a salad. Like, but you need to be eating. Like, I think an important part, like, when you're going through a breakup is to remember that, like, you are, it's a really difficult thing, but you set yourself up for the best success by doing those things that keep your body healthy. Like, you're not going to be in your right mind. You're not going to be healing as best you can if you're not eating, if you're not sleeping, if you're not working out. Like, that's just true for any situation. So try to arm yourself as best you can with those types of practical things, like eating, trying to eat well if you can. Again, a smoothie can be good for, like, put some spinach in there, put some bananas and berries and just slurp it down. And that's a lot of, like, nutrients right there for your day. And then have Thai for dinner or pizza, whatever. Another thing is, like, write down what you know, some things that you really enjoy doing and you have known from, like, maybe, like, in things that you can do alone that you really enjoy doing. Like, make a list and try to be intentional about doing one thing a day that cognitively you know will bring you joy. Even if you don't feel like doing it and, like, you'd rather just, like, lay in bed, you know, like, for instance, like, I know that I like going on, like, a quick walk down this beautiful street. It makes me happy. Try to do something like that for yourself once a day, even if it doesn't seem like it's going to be fun. Like, you, like, try to do something, one thing a day that brings you joy. There's just some practical advice. Also, like, there's a lot of good podcasts out there on breakups. Like, people definitely have put a lot of good content out there. Like, Alex Cooper, honestly, has one that's good. Jay Shetty has one that's good. There's a podcast called Love is Like a Plant that has some really good, like, short podcasts. And just, like, be gentle with yourself, you know? Like, it's a difficult thing. Like, it's real when you go through a breakup. It's, like, they've done studies that it's the same type of reactivity in your brain as someone who is recovering from an addiction. Like, you're just, like, breaking the neural pathways that you've spent 5 years building for those people, for that person. And so, like, don't think you're crazy if you feel like you are having, like, thoughts about, like, oh, like, I miss them, and, like, I feel like I'm just, like, having all these, like bodily reactions. Like, it's only because you're human. Like, we're bonding creatures, and now you are being unbonded from this person, and that's hard bodily and mentally. So be gentle with yourself. There is some, like, practical advice. Philosophically, like, girl, like, I wish, here's one thing I'll say, like, and Kate says this all the time, and it's true, like, this is, it's hard to see it when you're kind of, like, new in a breakup, mm-hmm. but, like, this is the first day of, like, the rest of your life. Like, breakups are such, I wouldn't, like, wish it on anyone. But if you lean in and try to do some self-discovery, take care of yourself, reflect, and then, like, just lean into also, like, a new life, like, it can be such a period of extreme positive growth that, like, it can be a true gift. And, like, I would really encourage you to, like, try to, like, lean into that, like, try to make it really good for you and, like, learn and, like, just know that, like, it's only going up from here. Like, the darkest moment was the night that you guys broke up, and now every moment after that is you just get, like, on the road step by step to a new, happier, better, like, version of yourself that, like, you're just gonna, like, fall in love with and continue to fall in love with as time goes on. So that's more of my philosophical advice. In addition to, like, you're so young, like, you will find another person.
Totally. Oh, like, my gosh.
And that person may not be the person that fit who you were when you're younger, but that new version of yourself that I just told you about, they will be right for that person and thus, like, better and more, honestly, in alignment with you.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
That's me. No,
I feel like you just get better and better with each new guy.
Yeah.
You run through, and no, I'm just kidding.
Is there anything else that she said? Like,
no, that was all. It's, like, very limited. Going off of, like, the very limited context.
Yeah, like, gave, this very general advice.
Obviously, completely fine.
Yeah.
But early 20s is so hard because you're still in that phase where everything kind of feels like the worst thing in the world, and you're also in that phase where you still feel super old when you're only 25.
Yeah. Oh, 25.
Which I've never felt older.
Oh,
I know
my
I'm
gosh.
Like 27, but like
now
when I turned 26, I was like, I'm so young.
Now that I'm 31, almost 32, 25 seems so young. Like it's crazy.
But when I was 25, I was like, I'm elderly.
No, like you're a teenager.
But when I'm just 26, I was like, oh my god, now I'm so young.
Yes. And so try not to get like bogged down. It's so easy to catastrophize and be like, oh my gosh, I'm never gonna meet anybody. I'm gonna be alone forever. Like I'm gonna be the last person of my friends to, like, meet somebody. But one, if you don't move to New York City, do that. No, I'm just kidding. But like everybody here is
that actually is one piece of
single and thriving.
Amazing thing that one of the breakup podcasts I listened to back when I was going through a breakup, they were like, and if you have the means, move to New York City. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Great advice.
Yeah. So. Like
there's one piece of
but advice. If you need like short-term advice, I always say block them on everything.
Yeah,
you don't
that's
need
a good
to,
one too.
You don't need to see what they're doing. They don't need to see what you're doing. I always
no
think
contact.
It's so strange when people are like, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Like I don't want them to know I care that much. Like, it's like, oh no, like who cares? I don't care.
Literally, who cares?
I don't want to see what you're doing. You don't get to see what I'm doing.
Like,
tell your friends. I don't want to hear if you see him at a party. The only time I want to hear about him is if he's going to be where I'm going.
Yeah.
Then you can give me the heads up because then you can decide if you like actually want to go. I don't know if there was anything negative that happened at the end, but even if not, if you weren't growing and if you weren't going to end up in the same place, I applaud you so much for ending your relationship now.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that's,
the sooner the better.
Yes, because a lot of people would have continued to date, gotten married, and then would have been like, wait a second, mm-hmm. we don't align, we just did this because it was next steps, and now we have to get a divorce, mm-hmm. and we, you know, and all that stuff. So I'm sure, wow, this is incredibly difficult, you should pat yourself on the back because also very courageous.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations, you know, you're about to start the rest of your life. It's very exciting. And just to echo what Mary B said, do something for yourself every day.
Yeah.
And do something that you could have never done when you were in your relationship. I don't know the inner workings of that, but do something that you could not have done when you were in your relationship.
Yeah.
Whether that be, you know, just like making out with a boy on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, like I hope you were in like a healthy relationship, but if you weren't, you know, just do something that like makes you feel free, I guess, mm-hmm. is all I'm trying to say.
Because you are free. I mean,
you are free. Yeah.
You like suddenly, I feel like after.
And
a
that's
breakup,
how you'll feel when you're in a healthy relationship too. But
yeah, after going, I think when you go, like when you start to like come out of like the hard parts of a breakup, I feel like you can, it's so exciting. You're like, my life could have so many different avenues now. Like nothing's
yes.
decided. And that's,
yes.
that's really exciting. Like
totally.
So much to explore. So much to like, make sure, like, think about for yourself, like, what do I want,
yes.
you know?
Like, the time in your life where you get to be completely selfish and not have to think about anybody else is extremely limited.
Yes, like, think about, I always think about that's like, the breakdown of, like, okay, so, like, say you're single your entire 20s. That's still 10 years of your life that
that's
you're single.
That's literally
versus,
nothing.
Versus, like, what, another 70 with a person? Like,
oh, my
God, you're
gosh.
Good to go. The time breakdown is crazy.
Yes. Like,
and, of course, when you meet someone, like, you will want to stay with them and it's going to be beautiful and fantastic.
Right.
But, like, just, it's just, I don't know, you just can never get that time back. And
yes, try to take advantage and you can't have the same love twice. So even if you were to get back together, which is easy to just want to fall back into the comfortability of the same person, it will never be like it was when it was at its peak. Because we always tend to remember only the good times and forget
mm-hmm.
the bad times.
That's another thing you could do is write in
all
your
the
notes.
All the bad things.
Seriously, write down
read
while
it.
You still remember
and
them.
Read it back to yourself.
Write down all of the things that was negative. I know it's probably hard, but like, and then in your weakest moments, go back and read it.
Totally.
Because that's when you'll forget. Because
your
you
brain
need
plays
the reminder.
Tricks on you. And you can be like, oh, it really wasn't that bad. Or, oh, I could change, like, this part about myself.
Yeah.
And just know, if it was hard, then, when you're married and you have kids, it will be 100 times harder.
And
so,
yeah. Even, like, yeah. I
like,
just,
life
yeah.
only gets more stressful. And
mm-hmm.
the highs get higher, of course, but the lows get lower.
Yeah.
And you need to be with somebody who will ride with you through all of that. Like, put yourself in situations in the future that are just scary and dark, and just think to yourself, is that the person that I want next to me?
Like, think about, not to be like so dark, but like, think about like when your parents die.
Think about if your child was, think about if your child died. Like, think about if your child was born with
is that the person?
Terminal disease or something like that. Is that the person you want helping you through that?
Yeah. So, you know, I will say, I mean, couples get back together. It does happen, but Kate's right. Like,
it would have to be after you were both in therapy, I would say, and like really worked on yourself.
It would have to be like it would have to be, and you'll know when you're there, but it would have to be when you, I feel like, you have to have like lived without them
for a while,
and then maybe you guys come back, and like something needs to change, like whatever the reason was why you broke up needs to not be there anymore.
Yes. So in the meantime, work on yourself.
Yeah.
Book a solo travel trip to somewhere, or with a girlfriend that you think you could travel with.
Yeah.
Somewhere safe. Like, just, you know, work on, maybe if you like to run, train for a race.
And
save money
and lean into your friendships. Like,
post breakup
feeling like, oh my gosh, I feel like I just have this like hole in my life of someone I used to like talk to all the time and whatever. Fill that hole up with your friends.
Are so important. Important.
And especially at young, like, I don't know your friends, but like, I'm sure you have other friends who are single. Lean into those friendships too. Like, those can really be like powerful support systems. So,
and also don't be afraid to go eat alone and do things alone.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the more comfortable you will get with it.
Yeah.
So, and we're like, rooting for you.
Yeah. We're rooting for you. And the last thing I'll say, which is I think a really great piece of advice that I had given to me when I was younger, was like, you're not dating. I feel like she said that like she has friends who are not single or something like that. I can't remember. Feeling, even at this age, like if you're feeling like pressure to be dating, like
I feel like,
or like being in a relationship, remember, you're not dating for your 20s. You're dating for your life. So if it means being more picky right now, like my friend, one of my favorite things that my friend had said to me was like, it's better to be single at 25 than divorced at 35.
Oh my gosh, I would rather be single for the rest of my life than be with the wrong person.
So just keep that in mind. It's better to be single now and more discerning than to be single when you're 35, divorced because you were not discerning. I mean, it's a really big decision, you know, sometimes it's hard to make it right, but just, you know, if you're feeling like, oh, I can't believe I'm single, better to be single when you're 25 than divorced when you're 35.
And I mean, obviously do whatever you want, of course, but really start to learn to be alone and love it. Mm-hmm. Learn to love how to be alone.
There's so much power in knowing how to be alone, because then, like, if a man, like, fucks around on you, you can be like, whatever, like, I'm happy alone. See ya. So, die.
Or, on the other hand, if you marry a guy who's, like, super successful and working all the time, you're totally fine.
So. Exactly. So there's so much power. I don't know, like, if we know anyone like that, but like, it's really so much power. There's so much power in being alone, but also know that, like, it's also, I remember seeing this one, like, TikTok probably, that was like, why
do it was we, a peer-reviewed it was, article.
It was probably
on PubMed.
Yeah, but it's just this woman saying, like, you know, why do we, it is, I think sometimes there can be a toxic culture of, like, why do you feel like you need a partner to complete you? And like, da, 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 da. And, you know, I think it's not for everyone, but for a lot of people, it's just like a natural thing want a partner.
That is natural.
And the whole point of, I think, the peer-reviewed article was like, you know, like, don't like, just like feel like you, something's wrong with you if you feel like you want a relationship and you want to be in that. Like, that's normal.
Totally. We're social beings, yes.
But I, like, that's why, like, two things can be true at once. Like, that can be true, and it can also be true that, like, being single and, like, letting yourself heal from a breakup and, like, being discerning is also really important. So,
agreed.
It'll happen. It'll happen. Yes. And just focus on yourself for now. That's the best thing you can do for yourself, especially if it's early days.
Yes.
Okay, so.
We're rooting for you.
We're rooting for you, girl. You got this.
Baboos.
What was my baboo last week?
I genuinely don't remember. I never do. I definitely didn't read a book.
That was so, 2 weeks ago.
Maybe it was my fitness, which I have been keeping up with.
Mm-hmm. I think mine was definitely fitness, which I actually am proud that I have been keeping up with. And I've really been enjoying keeping up with it. I want
to
keep it
up. Have you been doing your Sculpt Society videos, or have you been doing something else? Oh, I have a complimentary berries that has to be used by the 9th if you want it.
Please. I actually had a stroke of luck where I was just kind of checking out ClassPass, and they offered me 45 credits just to, like, do a 14-day trial. Mm-hmm. So that's why I went to Barry's. So. But I did do one Sculpt Society, but while I have these free credits, I have to use them by, like, next week, so...
Nice.
But we for sure use the free berries.
You're so fit.
My baboo. This is gonna be an easy one. Okay. So if I don't get it done, it'll be embarrassing. My baboo is to get a new mirror
in my room. Yeah, your mirror is horrific.
I honestly think it's starting to affect my confidence.
She has a clown mirror.
I have this mirror in my room that's like hung on what's like kind of like a pillar sticking out of my wall, and I think that there's something that like is warm from the building, like maybe like a pipe behind the wall, because I think that has led to my mirror becoming
more
convex, and thus when I look in the mirror it reflects back to me a wider version of myself than is truth, and I honestly think it's starting to affect my body image. So this week I'm gonna get a new mirror.
S-port. It's offensive.
It's offensive.
It needs to go. And it's in the trash.
And thank God that Kate came over one day and saw it, because I honestly thought I was gaining weight. And I was like, this is crazy. No. Like, and Kate comes over one day. She takes one look in the mirror. She's like, what is this mirror? You need to throw it away.
Literally. Like, I know what I look like, and it is not this.
Yeah, really, like, there's, like, a certain point, and it's around right where my hips are that, like, it really just, like... makes me feel, it like just makes you look like smushed.
Yeah.
So, okay. Have a great week, you guys. I know this was long, but I hope you enjoyed it.
Money, Saturday.
Let's go.
Okay.